Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us. And open our eyes that we can see. See what is written in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans. And help us to not only be able to hear it and understand it, and help us to put what we learn into practice, so that indeed we'll be truly blessed by you. Help us not to deceive ourselves, but to walk in your way, and so as to experience your blessing. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, what is God's will in our life? God's will in our life, in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, talk about God's righteousness. The second thing is God's kingdom. As a matter of fact, you write that down, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Whatever we seek in this earth, make sure we seek the most important things. In Matthew chapter 6, people, they seek their own life. They worry about their own life, what they eat, what they drink. And then they worry about what they put on as the clothing. They don't worry about God's righteousness. They don't worry about God's kingdom. This is the most important things. And I pray that we can understand that. Whatever we seek, seek the most important thing first. And I'm going to do it verse by verse. God's will is for us to seek God's righteousness and God's kingdom. These two things you can only receive by faith, not by anything else. So we have to understand God's word and pray about that and seek after that. And first of all, let us go to Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by work, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man worked, his wages was not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to a man who does not work but trusts God, who justified the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. In other words, from Romans chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, what do I see? Romans chapter 4, 1 to 5, you write down Abraham. Abraham discovered a treasure. He discovered that the most important thing in life is to seek God's righteousness by faith. Unfortunately, a lot of Jewish people, they claim themselves to be the descendant of Abraham. Yet, 99.9% of the Jewish people, they think they can obtain righteousness not by faith. They think they can obtain righteousness by work. But Abraham discovered that you don't receive God's righteousness by work. No one can receive righteousness by work. Right beside righteousness by work. Verse 2, if in fact Abraham was justified by work, he has something to boast about, but not before God. He has nothing to boast about that, because he received God's righteousness by faith. Right beside that, you write down, right beside 4:2, you write down chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous, including Abraham, in God's sight, by observing the law. By observing the law, you say, by work. No one is justified by work. Each and every one of us is justified by faith. But then what's the use of the law? Through the law, we become conscious of sin. We know that we are sinners. Without the law, we think we are so good. With the law, we know that we are sinners. We know that we are in deep trouble. Now, if chapter 3, verse 20 is saying that no one is declared righteous by observing the law, no one is declared righteous by work, that means if God did not do something about that, none of us will survive. We all perish. Because we only live one life, and after that, we go to hell. But God didn't want it to happen. So that's why His will is for us to seek God's righteousness first, and then God's kingdom. Because He wants us to enter into the kingdom of God. The reason why we live in this world is to prepare ourselves for the next world, the new heaven and new earth. If you don't see that, then you are in deep trouble. Okay? If you don't see that, you only worry about your life right now, what you eat and what you drink. If you don't see that, then you worry about what you clothe. You don't worry about the future. Okay? See that. See what God wants us to see. And Abraham discovered that. Okay, first of all, what is the reason why Abraham discovered that and yet his descendants don't get it? Abraham get it. Isaac get it. Jacob get it. And then after Jacob, he has 12 children, or actually 13, 12 boys and one girl. I don't know whether he spent much time on each and every one of the children. And some people, they don't get it. And after that, they don't even understand God's word. They become proud. They thought they are the descendant of Abraham. They have the right to enter into the promised land. They thought it's because of their own righteousness they can enter into the promised land, not knowing that it's because of God's faithfulness. So Abraham discovered the most important truth in his own life, that we obtain righteousness in God's sight, not by work, not by observing the law, but by faith in His promises. That is the genuine faith. But in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us one thing. If someone tells you some truth, you don't just believe in one person, you have to have another witness. So, Paul using Abraham example, and then he used David example. And you and I know that in the first chapter of Matthew, Matthew is a Jewish disciple, and he knows that the Jewish people has a high regard to Abraham and David. So that's why Paul knows that too. Paul respect Abraham, Paul respect David. So he, first of all, write down what Abraham discovered, the most important truth. And then he talked about what David discovered, the same truth, the same important truth. Okay, go to verse 5. However, to a man who does not work, but trusts God who justified the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Verse 6, David say the same thing. When he speak of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from work. What did David say? In verse 7, blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed are they whose sins are covered. Who forgive your sin is only God can forgive your sin. Who cover your sin? You can cover it, but you won't be able to cover it. You think you can cover it. It's only God, using the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, can cover your sins. Verse 9, blessed is the man whose sins the Lord will never count against you. When David confessed his sin, he cannot cover it anymore because the Lord's hands was heavy upon him and he is about to die because he suffered so much pain and agony in his bone. So he confessed his sin. And he realized the moment he confessed his sin was covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he realized that God has forgiven his sin. On top of that, he sins against God, but God say, I don't count it, as if you haven't sinned. So that is by faith. Faith in what? Right beside verse 7 and 8, you write down Psalm 32, verse 5. By confessing your sin before God, acknowledge what you have done, spell it out clearly, don't cover it up, and then ask God for forgiveness. When you have done that, all your sins will be forgiven. Not by work, not by offering sacrifice, but by confessing and believing Jesus is the one who loves you. When you confess your sins, and he will forgive all your sins and cleanse all your unrighteousness. So David had the same kind of faith to receive God's righteousness by faith. So you write that down, Abraham, and then you write that down, Romans 4, 6 to 8. You write down David. David see that too. Okay? And right beside David, you write down, that is Psalm 32. And then for as far as Abraham is concerned, you write that down, Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. When Abraham is around 65 years old, 85 years old, he is childless, and he win the war, he rescue his cousin, Lot, and bring him back, and the Lord appeared to him. And the Lord say to him, your children will be as numerous as the star in the heavens. And in verse 6, he believed in it. At the age of around 85, 10 years after he left his homeland, his family, and yet he's still childless. Okay? And when God spoke to him, he believed in it. Abram believed the Lord. And then the Lord credited to him as righteousness. So Abraham received God's righteousness by faith. He didn't do anything. He just believed in it. So since I'm in the Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, I want you to write that down, right beside God's kingdom. When you receive God's righteousness, you will receive God's kingdom right away. You lose one, you lose both. Brother and sister, I want you to write that down. Right beside Genesis chapter 15, you write down Romans chapter 4. Especially, right beside 15, chapter 15, verse 6, and chapter 15, verse 7. I read that one more time to you. When Paul writes the book of Romans chapter 4, he's not inventing some new idea as a writer of this world. He is explaining the Genesis chapter 15 verse 6 and chapter 15 verse 7. When Abraham believed the Lord and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. When he believed in God, God gave him his righteousness. Once he get God's righteousness, then God say, God said to Abram, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to take possessions of it. In other words, when you believe in me, then you can receive God's kingdom. I want you to write that down. Not only he can receive God's kingdom, right beside God's kingdom, you write down Genesis 15, verse 7, Abraham received that. And then you write down Genesis chapter 15, who else received it? 18 to 20, his offspring also received it. I say that one more time. I want to sing into your mind. If you don't have God's righteousness, you lose everything. You get God's righteousness, you get God's kingdom. Because chapter 15 verse 7 is right after chapter 15 verse 6. When Abraham received God's righteousness and he received the possessions of the promised land. That promised land is God's kingdom. Said, Pastor John, how do you know that? Of course I know that. Okay? I think the Jewish people know that too. I want you to write that down. Acts chapter 1. Just right before Jesus ascend to heaven, and Jesus talked to their disciple. Let's hear the conversation. Acts chapter 1 verse 5. For John baptized, Jesus said, for John baptized with water, and but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Restore the kingdom to Israel? That is, are you allowing the Israel to enter into the kingdom of God? Restore the kingdom to Israel. At that very moment, all the people who live in the promised land, are talking about the Jewish people, are under the control of a foreign government. They don't have their own king. Roman emperor governed them. Okay? They can be turned to the promised land, but they don't have their own king. They don't rule over their own nation. And that's why the disciple asking Jesus, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? Let the king of David to rule over us instead of letting the Roman emperor to rule over us. Secondly, I want you to write that down. Chapter 4, verse 13, Roman. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. I read that one more time. It was not through the law. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. When Paul saying that right in here, Romans 4:13, he read the Genesis chapter 15 verse 7. He read it. Genesis chapter 15, 18 to 20, verse 18 to 20. Abraham understood that. He received the promise to inherit the land is by faith. Because the righteousness that he received, the righteousness that he received from God, right beside 13, you write down 16. Therefore, the promise that Abraham would be heir of the world, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. I go back to 14. I go back to 13. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that come by faith. Circle the word. But through the righteousness that come by faith. In other words, if Abraham did not receive God's righteousness that come by faith, let's say if he did not have God's righteousness, even though he was a rich man at that time, if he died, he still go to hell. But Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, he believed in God's promises that his descendant will be as numerous as the star in the heaven. He believed in it. Although he didn't see even one, he had no child at that time. But he believed in it. So his belief is not by sight. His belief is by faith. Faith in the promise of God. Right after God promised him that his children will be as numerous, although he is childless, then God goes on to give him another promise that he will inherit the land that you are dwelling as an alien. He's childless, he's landless. He's not a landlord. When his wife passed away, he still had to pay for a burial site. But he believed in it. Do I make myself clear? In order for you to receive God's kingdom, you had to have God's righteousness first. Because in order for you to receive God's kingdom, if you don't have God's righteousness by faith, you don't even have God's kingdom either. Paul is not trying to invent some new idea. He is explaining what is recorded in the Genesis chapter 15. But you know what? We don't brag about that. If he didn't mention it, I don't even know myself. Because he mentioned it, I go back and study, I found out Abraham didn't do anything in order to receive the land because God rewarded him. You believe in what I say? You really believe in it? You're childless, you're landless, and yet you're not worrying about all this? You believe in me? Okay, I give you double portion. You lost it. You lost everything. Brother and sister, if you don't see that, you're in deep trouble. Make sure your eye can see that. I encourage you to go back to read Matthew chapter 6, the entire chapter of chapter 6. If you can see it, then you are in good hand. If you don't see it, you are in deep, deep trouble. You lose one, you lose both. You gain one, you gain everything. Make sure that you have faith in Jesus Christ. You know what? I've been a Christian for so long. I didn't hear any pastor saying that. Why? Because people look at the book of Romans, they say, we receive salvation by faith. That's all. We didn't go and study word by word. We didn't go back to go to Genesis chapter 15. How can Abraham receive God's kingdom? You say, Pastor John, how do you know that's God's kingdom? I don't see that word in there. All I see is chapter 4, verse 13, saying that. I read that one more time. I want you to circle the word, the world. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. Heir of the world. That world is the God kingdom. You say, Pastor John, how do you know that? Of course I know that. Right beside the world, you write that down. Romans 4:13 equal to Revelation 11:15. The kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of the Lord and His Christ. For Jesus Christ will reign forever and ever in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of the world, right beside the world, you write down Romans chapter 4, verse 13. This world, God promised to Abraham, you will inherit the earth, the world, okay? You will be the heir of the world. In other words, you will be the heir of this kingdom. The kingdom of this world. Who is ruling the kingdom of this world now? You write that down. According to 1 John chapter 5 verse 19, Satan is ruling over the kingdom of this world. Now. But when the seventh trumpet blow the trumpet, by that time, the angel declare the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of the Lord and His Messiah. Go back to Revelation 11:15. Revelation chapter 11:15. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And Jesus Christ will reign forever and ever. You know, you can do all you like. You know what? A lot of people on this earth, sometimes people don't work. They only work in 5 days, they only work for 3 days and take 2 days off. You know, they say, well, I got enough. I don't want to work. Lo and behold, when the storm come, you know, the economy collapse, and then they need handout. Okay, these are some of the people are like that. Another kind of the people go another extreme. They don't just work for 5 days. They work for 7 days. Go to another extreme. Buy this house and buy that house. Okay? Work all their life without going to the church. Brother and sister, we don't work in these two extremes. We work to seek God's righteousness. Seek His righteousness first. And seek His kingdom first. All other things will be added unto you. If you don't seek these two things, I don't care how successful you are in this world. When you see Jesus Christ, you're going to see Him with an empty hand. Don't do that. He has given you enough resources. And then He's going to ask you. Last week, I don't know whether you remember one important truth. The gospel, the word of God, the promises of God has been entrusted to you. First of all, entrusted to the Jews. Then Paul say entrusted to him. Then he say entrusted to Timothy. Then Jews say entrusted to all the saints. But you know God's truth. You don't seek His will. You wishy-washy, and then you think you can get by. You will regret. Don't do that. Take a look at Abraham and his niece. Lot, he loved the world. He go to Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened in Genesis chapter 14? He didn't lose his life. He lost all his property. He loved the property. He ended up losing everything. And Abraham rescued him. You thought he learned the lesson? No, he didn't learn the lesson. A few chapters later, in Genesis chapter 19, Abraham prayed for him again. Now he gained back his life. He lost his wife. He only got two daughters. He lost his son-in-law because he spent so much time in this world. He didn't spend enough time to seek God's righteousness. He ended up losing everything. That's really sad. You know, you don't want to marry a man like that. If you're a lady, you marry a man like that, he can't even save you. When the angel say to the Lord, don't turn back. He hear that, he didn't turn back. But his wife turned back. His children did not turn back. That means he has no control of his own wife. He's not the headship of his own family. He didn't know what's the most important things in life. When we live on earth, some are most important, some are important, some are not essential. You lose it, it's okay. You have to know what is the most important thing in your life. It's God's word that entrusted to you. Because faith comes from hearing of the message comes from the word of Christ. Without Paul in chapter 4 to explain what is going on in Genesis chapter 15, I read Genesis chapter 15 a lot of time already. I don't see, if I don't read Romans chapter 4, I don't see what Paul see. His eye is, he has a bright eyes. Just like Proverbs chapter 15 verse 30, bright eyes gladden the heart. And good news, give health to the bone. Good news, put fat on your bone. Nourish your soul, and you're good to go. Before you depart from this world, make sure you, I say, Proverbs chapter 15, 30. Not 13. I want you to change the word. This is NIV translation, but that's not right. I want you to circle this, put an open bracket in a cheerful look, and then put a bracket joy 2 right beside here, okay? You write down, bright eyes, gladden the heart. If you have insight in your business going to make money. If you have insight in your career is successful. You know what make Daniel successful? He knows ahead of time. He has bright eyes. You know why Joseph is successful? Joseph didn't go to a school, didn't go to university. 17, he was sold as a slave to Egypt. But when at the age of 30, 13 years later, and he speak to Pharaoh, Pharaoh say, you are the man. You are the man to govern my country. Bright eyes. You write right beside that. Bright eyes. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Has talked about good eyes and bad eyes. Bright eyes is good eyes. Bad eyes is a lousy eyes. Okay? Make sure that you have a bright eyes. Bright eyes gladden the heart. Make your heart joyful. And you'll be successful. You'll be prosperous. Okay? Everybody say, bright eyes is very important. Good news, put fat to your bone. Okay? Give health to your bone. If your bone is healthy, the bone within the bone it has bone marrow. Bone marrow manufactures blood. Blood, there's life in the blood. You will be healthy, so healthy, if you have fat in the bone marrow. You write down good news, put fat on the bones. That's who translation, not John M. translation, called NASB. These are the two Bible I read all the time. NASB. New American Standard Version. That's a good Bible. Okay? The two I read in the English one. NIV and NASB. You can go to BibleGateway.com. You can hear and listen to it free of charge. Okay? Now go back. God's will for us is to receive God righteousness first, and then when you receive God righteousness in Genesis chapter 15:6, automatically you receive God's kingdom. That is Genesis 15:7 and 18 to 20. 15:7 is for Abraham to receive the kingdom of this world, because he can enter the kingdom of the Lord and the kingdom of Christ. And also, God also guarantees his children to receive it. Now, let's hear Paul's argument. Let's say God's kingdom. Because the Jewish people thinking that he received God's kingdom by the law. But Paul say, no, not by law. Because without the law, there's no transgression. With the law, there's God's wrath. Because no one, you write that down, by the law, you write down 3:20. By the law, where does it say by the law? Is 4:14. Go to 4:14. For if those who live by law are heir of the world, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law bring wrath, and where there's no law, there's no transgression. You know what? When Paul writes that so condensed, you just read it. After you read it once, you don't even know what you're reading. You have to sit down and say, what is he trying to say to me? Let me explain to you verse by verse. For if those who live by the law, that's what the Jews bread about. Live by the law. I want you to write that down. When Paul writes this kind of thing, is to save his people, Jewish people. Because they bread about the law. Chapter 2, verse 17. Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and bread about your relationship to God, bread about the law. What do they bread about the law? Because if I have the law, then I can enter the kingdom of God. No, I'm sorry, you are wrong. You are dead wrong. All the Jewish people believe in that. You know what? You try to preach the gospel to the Jewish people, you don't even read the book of Romans, you don't even know what they believe. Remember that. They bread about the law. Why they bread about the law? They think by the law, by hearing the law, then I can inherit the kingdom of God. Some, just like some Christian, they think that I come to the church and hear the gospel, hear what the pastor say, and I can enter the kingdom of God. They don't even read the Bible. They don't even serve God. How can they get it? Come on, give me a break. Okay? Jewish people bred by the law, thinking that by the law they can inherit the kingdom of God. Paul say, I'm sorry. You do not become heir of this world by the law. Why? If you can inherit the kingdom of God
by the law, that means faith has no value. What does it mean by faith has no value? What did I say? You receive God's righteousness by what? You receive God's righteousness by what? By faith. If you receive God's righteousness by faith, and Paul explained to us, that is Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. That's what Moses believed. When you receive God's righteousness by faith, automatically, 15:7, you receive God's kingdom by that same faith. You get one, you get both. There's nothing in between verse 6 and verse 7. God go on to promise him. Go back to Genesis chapter 15. You don't believe in me. You just believe in what God says. Okay? I read that to you. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. 15:7. God also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land, to take possessions of it. Give you this land, you write that down. This is the kingdom of God. This land is the kingdom of God. This land is the world. Chapter 4, verse 13 in Book of Romans. And the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of the Lord and his Messiah. And the Lord Jesus Christ will reign forever and ever. Abraham didn't do anything. Not by work. Not by the law. You say, Pastor John, how do you know it's not by the law? Because in Genesis chapter 15, Moses wasn't even born yet. The law come from Moses. Moses only come in what? In Exodus. That is before the law. To inherit the kingdom of God has nothing to do with the law. You don't brag about something that is, had no relationship. Brother and sister, when you go to the church, you don't study God's word at home. You just believe what the pastor say. If the pastor is good, then you're good to go. If the pastor is lousy, you are in deep trouble, man. You are in deep trouble. You know what? Paul is not saying something, he invents some idea. No, he's not inventing some idea. He's explaining what the Old Testament talk about. Some people say, oh, I'm a New Testament Christian. I only believe in New Testament. I don't read the Old Testament. You miss so much. When you go and read the book of Romans chapter 4, you don't even understand. You thought you understand. You know what? Paul said that if you inherit the kingdom of God by the law, then faith had no value. But Paul said faith had every value to inherit the God righteousness and to inherit God kingdom. Am I right? And then he say, the promise, if you receive God's kingdom, inherit God's kingdom by the law, then the promise is worthless. The promise is worthless. What does it mean by the promise is worthless? If it's by the law, I want you to write that down, by the law. The Bible say, no one in God's sight will be declared righteous by observing the law. No one. That means whatever God promised you, oh, you're going to inherit the land, 15:7, and your children, your offspring, also inherit the land. This promise is worthless because we can't do it. If it's by the law, that means by your own action, by your own strength. Then you can do nothing. Then you go to hell. You're not going to go to hell, you cannot inherit God's kingdom either. Does it make sense? Spend some more time in the book of Romans. Listen to me. Don't waste your life, okay? That book is a good book, okay? Don't just believe in what I say. Study diligently, okay? Read it numerous times. You read it once, you read it twice, you won't understand. Don't know what did I say? How many times you have to read it? That's it. I read it once, I read it twice, I don't understand. Of course you don't understand. Because it was so concise. That argument helps you to understand what you believe. You have to know what you believe. Don't believe in some other people saying that it's not out of the Bible, out of his own imagination. Okay? Keep going. Let me see. I want to say one more thing regarding, you remember when I talk about chapter 3, verse 1? I read that to you. What advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? Now in chapter 4, Paul explained, what are the value in circumcision? Without the circumcision, we don't know that God's righteousness has two things. That's the value of the circumcision. Two things. Thing number one, timing. Thing number two is a sign or it's a seal. Let's talk about the timing. Verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? That's the answer. You're right beside that. The answer is chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then is there in being a Jew? All the Jewish people, they circumcised on the eighth day when they were born. What advantage is there in being a Jew? And Paul say that, much in every way. First of all, the Jews has been entrusted with the very word of God. That's the advantage for them. And then he say, is this blessedness only for the Jews, for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? A lot of people, they just, you know, when they ask this question, they go ahead and answer the question, of course, for both of them. Don't just answer this question right away. Listen to Paul's argument in verse 10. Listen to Paul's argument. Under what circumstances was it credited? You write down timing, 4:10. Under what circumstances was it credited with God's righteousness? Was it after Abraham was circumcised or before he was circumcised? Did anybody know when did he circumcise? Abraham circumcised in Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, God credited to him because of his faith in God's promises, I give you righteousness. I give you God righteousness, not man righteousness, not by work that you can boast. If you want to boast, you boast about Jesus Christ, who give you his righteousness. Okay? Now, so in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham has already received God's righteousness. In Genesis chapter 17, at the age of 99 years old, he was circumcised. In Genesis chapter 15, at the age of 85 years old. At the age of 85 years old, he was credited with righteousness. So is it before or after? It's before. In other words, so what's the value of the circumcision? Is to let us see very clearly. Whether circumcised or not circumcised, doesn't count. Does it make sense? Don't just jump the gun. Oh, I heard that, you know. We have to say, no, give me an argument. This is a good argument. This is from God's word. That's why I say you need to spend time so that you know what you're talking about. Okay? Okay, now keep going. Under what circumstances, what is credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. Verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision. the sign of circumcision is the seal of the righteousness that Abraham had. That's a past tense. He had it in Genesis chapter 15 by faith while he was still uncircumcised. In Genesis 15, he was still uncircumcised. In Genesis chapter 17, then he was circumcised. After what? 85, 99, how many years? 14 years later. He was righteous already in God's sight. 14 years before he was circumcised. Okay? That means that circumcision is a seal to let the whole world know about that. It's a sign to let the Jewish people know about that. You don't brag about circumcision, because circumcision has nothing to do with whether you get God righteousness or not. Now I'm ruling out two things. You receive God righteousness by faith, not by what? Not by law. Secondly, not by what? Not by circumcision. Because Abraham did not receive God righteousness by circumcision. That's a sign. It's a road sign. Lead you to the right path. It's a seal already. Nobody can change it. He had that righteousness at the age of 85. And then he was circumcised at the age of 99. That means he's already called a righteous man without the circumcision. Then what does it mean? Then God said, now, remember one thing. Later on, in Genesis chapter 17, what did God say in Genesis chapter 17? You have to change your name. Your name is not going to be called Abraham. Your name is going to be called Abraham. Abraham means you are the father of all nations. Abraham means exalted. An honorable father. No, your name has to be changed from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means father of all nations. Listen to me carefully. Genesis chapter 17, father of all nations, is it in conformity with Genesis chapter 15, verse 5? What did Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, what God say to Abraham? Your children will be as numerous as the star in the heaven. If his children are so much, then he becomes the father of all what? Of all nations. That's how Paul explained that. If I don't memorize it, I don't even know what I'm talking about. That's really good stuff. The New Testament helps you understand the Old Testament. The Old Testament helps you to understand the New Testament so that you know what you're believing. Don't just be a wishy-washy Christian, brother and sister. We receive God righteousness not by the law, but by faith. We receive God righteousness not by circumcision, but by faith. By faith. All right? Once you get God righteousness, you get God kingdom. Right away. You lose one, you lose both. But some people, if I'm talking to the lazy people, say, well, Pastor John, that's good news. I hear good news. Proverbs 15:30 say, good news put fat on my bone. Then you become a fat cat. He said, I receive inheritance. I don't have to do anything. Brother and sister, do you know that? When you receive inheritance, it depends. All the Jewish people, the 12 tribes of Israel, they all receive inheritance. Do you know that a few tribes get a last piece of property, the other tribe get lesser piece of property? Do you know that? They all receive inheritance. Am I right? The tribe of Judah, they receive a big piece of property. Do you know that? Do you know that? Study the Bible more. Don't use your imagination. Don't follow the wicked people. Oh, I can glorify God. I can glorify God by what? By committed wickedness. Then to prove God righteousness. You don't do that. You glorify God by believing in who God is and do what he wants you to tell you. Our Heavenly Father, help us to remember what we hear today. help us not to brag about things that is not essential. Help us to brag about Jesus Christ, what he has done in our life, and give us righteousness by faith. Not by work, not by the law, not by circumcision. Done in the flesh by the hand of man. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you know what? I only